Good morning, folks. Welcome to worship. It's funny sometimes how people see each other. For many people, I am the minister, and that's it. For my husband, I am his wife. For our son, I am his mother. There are so many roles that each of us play. But who are we really? Who am I? We each have secret thoughts and ambitions and hopes and fears that make up who we are. But how often do we talk of them? How often do we share them with each other? It's only when we stop and we look at other people and we think about things from their perspective, maybe in their role as a parent or as a child or whatever, that we start getting what we could call a bigger, more rounded picture of who they are. And that would be the same with Jesus too. This passage explores a little bit of that. When Jesus asks Peter, who am I? Who do we think that Jesus is? Who do we think God is? Who knows? But I do know that when Christians come together in small groups, in ones or twos, across the internet like this, then we come together. Lots of different people, lots of different outlooks, but we are one body. We are united in one body to worship God. We know from Jesus being asked who he was, that each of us brings something unique and something special to our worship. Let's join together today as one body, as one group, as followers of Christ in our worship of God. We're led through the Spirit to do this. It doesn't matter who we are, or actually, it doesn't matter when we worship. But we come together in a more formal worship now, but we remember that all of our lives are worship. Let's worship God. Let's join together in all we do today. Very often in art of the past, in the poetry, in the music, the language used was reflecting the language of the day. So, for example, in our next hymn, which is City of God, How Broad and How Far, from the previous hymn book, CH3, it's number 422, the image there is what you and I might think of as Jerusalem of the past, with fortified walls, but they're golden and they glow out. They are on a hilltop, a beacon to people of strength and reassurance in troubling times. So let's hear the music now and look at the words of number 422 in number CH3, City of God, How Broad and How Far.
Thank you.
At this point, we bring our thoughts together in our prayers. Our first prayer is usually one where we consider what we think Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit are, and then we consider how we are maybe not as good as we could be, and we ask forgiveness from God for that. We ask for help that we might be better people in the future. Let's pray. Lord God, we bring our thoughts and our prayers to you today. We're thinking today about who Jesus is. Who is he? This man from long ago, is he a story in a book? Does the book give us an idea of better times to come? Does the book give us different ways to live our lives? Is this book, this Bible, a guide through a troubled world? Is it a philosophy to teach us? Who is Jesus? How do we describe this Son of Man? He was not rich, he was not warlike, he was not angry or loud, not a ruler or a tyrant. Who is he? What can we say about this Son of God? Who comes among us, who lived with us, who hurts with us, who feels with us, who dies with us and loves us. Who is he, this Christ, the Saviour, God among us, our guide, our light, our life, our everything? Who is he? We can't stick one label on him, just as nobody can stick one label on us. But we know that we come together as one body of people whose lives are not as good as they could be for whatever reason. We are broken and we seek wholeness. We seek the knowledge that you love us for what we are and that you want a relationship with us no matter who we are. We seek, Lord, to do your work. We pray for forgiveness when we fail. We do what we can to live the lives as you have told us, and we ask for support. Lord, you ask us to walk on a path of love for all. We ask that your Spirit will give us the boldness to live out your example, to leave behind the things of this world that would seek to divert us. And we ask for strength to give ourselves to your mission, to work tirelessly, to love your people, to support them and care for them as you did. Ever-loving God, we come before you in awe at your majesty, in wonder at the works that you created and we see around about us every day. We praise your holy name this day and every day. Amen.
Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 20. Peter's declaration about Jesus. Jesus went to the territory near the town of Caesarea Philippi, where he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" "Some say John the Baptist," they answered. "Others say Elijah, while others say Jeremiah or some other prophet." "What about you?" he asked them. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." "Good for you, Simon, son of John," answered Jesus. "For this truth did not come to you from any human being, but it was given to you directly by my Father in heaven. And so I tell you, Peter, you are a rock, and on this rock foundation I will build my church, and not even death will ever be able to overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What you prohibit on earth will be prohibited in heaven, and what you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." Then Jesus ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah.
That account from Matthew's Gospel is one that's also told in Mark and Luke. It's a pivotal moment in the Gospel story. Jesus had taken his disciples away up north, up to Caesarea Philippi. Away up in the north where the River Jordan begins its journey down through the Holy Land, down to the Dead Sea. But away up there in the north, Caesarea Philippi, a Greco-Roman city, very much the hub of all things cultural and indeed religious, a melting pot of many different ways and beliefs. And it was there that Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" Some say you're John the Baptist, others say Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. I suppose there have always been different ideas, different things said about Jesus. Some of them right, some of them misunderstandings. I always remember hearing one of my university lecturers preach and I suppose having a wee jibe at his own academic profession, preaching on this passage. He said, Jesus led his disciples to Caesarea Philippi and said, "Who do people say that I am?" And they said, "You are Emmanuel. You are the revealer of the revealed. You are the second persona of the una substantia. You are the Logos incarnate." And Jesus said, "What?" Well, sometimes we can overcomplicate. It was Simon who responded on behalf of the disciples and said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to Simon, "You're a rock, and on this rock I will build my church." And Simon Peter, the rock, did indeed go on to become the leader of the emerging Christian church. But leaders are nothing if there are no followers. And the church would be built on the affirmation of faith of disciples then and disciples through the ages. The church built on the belief that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And so our passage here is a challenging, pivotal point, not just for Peter and his fellow disciples then, but for followers, for you and for me today. In these challenging times, as faith practices are disrupted, when we can't be in church buildings and are discovering new spiritual habits, what does that mean for the church as it continues to awaken and reawaken faith in Christ, developing and reshaping and sustaining faith? I've heard some speak recently of the realization of something almost sacramental in a meal shared with family and friends. I've heard of folk who spoke of hearing a church bell ringing and hearing in that a call to pause and to reflect upon the important things in life, and many appreciating anew the sheer wonder and joy of moments shared in the beauty of creation and nature. Jesus' question then and now, who do people say I am? Who do you say I am? Also causes us to reflect upon another question. Who am I? Who are you in the light of your engagement in the things of faith? Who are you and who are you becoming? Let me leave the final word at the moment to Peter in this reflection.
Who do people say I am? It was your question, Jesus. Your question to us, not mine to you or anyone else. It was you who asked what people were saying about you, who they were saying you were. I had the feeling it was a leading question, a loaded question, not really the question you were heading towards. Of course people think you're like another John, preaching repentance and talking to crowds out in the wild places, or Elijah with a command over natural forces and the miracles you've done, or Jeremiah not being popular with the authorities and not appeasing people. But you're much more than a prophet and greater than any teacher, and you don't care much for what people make of you. You do your work with a passion. But who do you say I am? Your question, remember? Not one I was asking you. What kind of answer did you expect? We could all echo what our people have been saying. You're like John, yes, like Elijah, like Jeremiah, but more than any of them. But not one of us said anything, except me, opening my mouth as usual, and still remembering what you'd said about how it's what comes out of us that shows us up. The thing is, it felt like it didn't come from me. Well, not just my own thinking, but something bigger, deeper, sudden, but so sure. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. And you confirmed I could not have known it, said it from my ordinary human knowing alone. But you had more to say. Who do you say I am? Jesus, I never asked you that question. Whether I wanted to hear it or not, you told me who you say that I am. Simon, you said, you're Peter, the rock. And I wanted to say, I'm no rock, Jesus. I'm no foundation stone for any building. I'm no starting place for a community. Why would you trust me with a set of keys, let alone ones that open doors to your kingdom and to heaven? Why would you give me the authority, the responsibility to make choices on earth that will be echoed in heaven? But if I can be so sure of who you really are, how can I doubt what you say of who I really am? That's a whole other question, Jesus.
In this, our second prayer, we pray for others and we pray for ourselves. Let us pray. God of sea and land and air and space, of everything that there is, we pray for your continued blessing on our troubled planet. We're thankful for all we have, for the mountains and the hills, for the food on our plates. There's so much to be glad of, but there's so much that worries us too. Just as Peter saw Jesus for who he is, we can see our world for what it is. A glorious creation, a gift of life. And through knowing you, we ask for the boldness to do everything we possibly can to renew and rebuild this planet, to protect it for all who come after us. As one body in Christ, we are the continuing community of church, and we pray for guidance and support as we continue to bear witness, to be your people here, to speak out in a world of indifference. We ask for ingenuity, for confidence, for integrity, and for hopefulness, to shine through the darkness and to bring the light of your message to our community and to our world. We pray for ourselves. We pray for this community, for the children, for the elderly, for the lonely, for the bereaved, for the sick. We take just a moment of silence when we bring our own thoughts and prayers and lay before you those people who are on our hearts, in our minds today. Lord, hear our prayers. Lord, hear our prayers for others. May this be a reflection of our faith, that when we are worried, wondering what's going to happen next, we still think of others. We're all part of that big body of Christ, individuals who come together to worship you, to think of each other's needs and hopes and fears, to be part of a community not only of faith but of the wider community. Help us to remain true to your teaching that we bring the light of your love to everyone we meet. We pray for all your children, the young and old. We pray for those who have just returned to school, for those without work, with those who have too much work. We pray for those who have little food on our tables, and we give thanks for those who have made donations to the food banks. We thank you for those who work tirelessly to keep us healthy and safe. We pray for your love and support, for your peace and grace in our lives. We pray for your blessing on all that we are, parents, friends, workers, colleagues, ourselves. We pray for that blessing so that we may help build up your kingdom today and every day. Amen.
And continuing in a spirit of prayer, we bring our offerings, our gifts of money, our talents, our abilities. We bring all that we are, all that in your goodness and love we are becoming. We offer all these tokens, signs of our continuing commitment to your church and to be your church, its mission and its work, that it might continue to be built through us as a solid foundation, bearing witness to you, sharing your love throughout the world. And hear us as we pray together and say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory for ever. Amen. Jesus, you ask us, who do you say I am? Help us to know you. Grow our understanding of who you are, what you stand for, and what you require of us. Let the door to such knowledge and relationship be unlocked. Let your kingdom be awakened, developed, and sustained in us. And through us, be born into our world. May you all know God's blessing from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with you, with all those you love and those you should love, today, tomorrow, and always. Amen.